Love Her and Despair, Chapter 44. The off-duty cabin of the Celsius was ruddy and warm with laughter, with drink, and with the throbbing glow of light strips that Lucille had almost ceased to eye with wary curiosity. Old friends and new had gathered at the bar for a leisurely flight back to the capital. There was mud on the deck and clumps of chocobo down spiraling overhead, souvenirs of the airship's stopover in Moonflow Village. No one begrudged a few feathers in Hypello ale.
"It's not a gun, he says it's a sphere, and the teachings of Yevon are perfectly clear, so that's what he carries beneath his robes, and the maester's got nothing beneath his robes, but a pair of very small spheres."
Nuge leaned back in his chair. "At least, that's a rough translation. I'm still not quite fluent in Albed."
"I've heard something like it in the barracks," Lucille said, matching his deadpan.
Two pairs of eyes were riveted upon Nuge as if he had just sprouted fluffy yellow wings and pranced along the countertop singing the latest show tunes from Luca. It took them a moment to register that he had ceased chanting.
"I'm still not sure I've heard it," said Barilai.
"Sin's toxin," Juno said. "Sometimes it takes a while to wear off." A tattoo of loud bangs jarred them from their drinks. Something like hailstones was pelting the other side of the cabin door. The ship's captain was also a target, apparently. Brothers' plaintive cries echoed down the corridor. Lucille was the first off her barstool, seizing her cane. Barilai reached for his gun.
"It's not weapons fire," Nuge said, one hand slipping to the back of Juno's chair nonetheless, putting his shoulder between her and the commotion.
"And if it is, I'm off duty, so do me a favor and stay put," she said, taking a casual swig from her tankard. "I've already got one maester to worry about."
Barilai rolled his eyes. "Warning, nursemaid with sword," he said to Nuge.
"You sure you want her back?"
"Absolutely."
The frank intensity in his tone made Juno sit up straight.
"This Nuge," she said, when she had found her voice, "is going to take some getting used to."
The door lurched partway open, revealing a corridor occupied by four giggling children, Brother flat on his back, moaning with theatrical pathos, and Sid standing stupefied in the lift at the far end of the hall. A swarm of about 50 blue spheres, no, miniature rubber blitzballs, were ricocheting off ceiling, walls, and floor. Whooping, Vedina grabbed up a handful from the deck and pitched them at the nearest wall, setting off another frenetic barrage. A few hurtled into the room and caromed off cups, chairs, and the back of Nuge's head before bouncing to a halt. Barilai's robes took a glancing arc of ale from a tumbling drink.
"Enough!" Sid roared. The door hissed shut. Slowly, the hubbub began to subside.
Shaking her head, Lucille eased back onto her stool.
"I confess I had expected Lord Isaru's calm to be calmer."
"Not if Lady Shalinda has anything to say about it," Barilai said. "She was plotting the parade route when we left."
"Honoring whom?" Juno sighed, leaning back against Nuge's arm.
"You guys did half the work."
"Does it matter?" he said. "You misunderstand Shalinda's tactics," Lucille said. "She feared a stampede back to the city when we shut down the evacuation camps. We may, however, need to postpone festivities until the High Summoner has recovered." She nodded towards a smaller door at the opposite end of the living area, through which Isaru's guardians had carried him earlier. "In any event, you may be sure credit will be given where due."
Nuge's dark eyes sparkled. "And court-martials?"
"Possibly," said Barilai. "Or an honorable discharge. I haven't decided yet."
"Barilai!" Juno glared. "You wouldn't."
"It depends." He raised his cup, turning it thoughtfully. "I wondered if you might like to join the Albed for a while."
"Oh."
She stilled under Nuge's suddenly intent gaze.
"The city's a mess.
You need me. So does the guard. We need someone we can trust as a liaison to Sid.
Business later, Barrelai, Lucille admonished. The captain is right. We're off duty tonight. Drink.
In that case, Nuge said, has anyone informed Sir Auron that he's out of a job?
They turned to follow his cocked eyebrow towards the lone figure standing at the rail above them, a dark silhouette in the gallery overlooking the bar. His shock of white hair stood out like a torch, tinted by the sunset beyond the windows. The hilt of his massive sword jutted up above his shoulder, defining his stiff spine and shoulders with its canted weight. He had not moved in over an hour. Already he seemed a relic, a statue for priests to dust and antiquarians to embalm in learned tales.
Oblivious to their scrutiny, Auron kept vigil with his back to the room. Beyond the glass canopy of the ship's hull, the last poppy gleams of a vivid orange sunset were swallowing the dwindling ranks of pyreflies spiraling up from Sin's, no, Yevon's grave. In the distance, a bristling shadow carpet glittered with dark flecks of sapphire, ruby, emerald, and topaz, the crystalline fringe of Makalania's enchanted forest. The deck tilted subtly as the ship swung westward, away from the stormy plains. For a moment, Auron hoped that Lulu could see this, not the first delicate dawn since her imprisonment, but the first sunset, fierce embers cooling to velvet dusk. Then a gray flat strip on the horizon gave one almighty flash of fire. He stiffened. That smooth mirror could only be Lake Makalania, melted and refrozen too recently for snows to roughen its surface. Not only the faith lay entombed in its ice. Monks, acolytes, and orphans had been Sin's final victims. Maybe it was better that Waka and Riku had bundled Lulu off into private quarters the instant they came aboard. Grimacing, he turned towards the end of the gallery, where a small door led to the guest room over Isaru's. Through the bulkhead he could hear Waka's grumbles, Riku's banter. How many trials had he spent like this, waiting on the wrong side of a door? But they were friends, not faith. He trusted them. He was not angry at being shut out. He did not envy. He would not howl at the door like a fiend. Besides, he needed time to collect himself as much as Lulu did. He had come dangerously close to giving away too much of himself with entrust, that soul gift of life's fire. He wondered if Lulu had retained a piece of it.
Sir Auron, Maester Lucille called from below, will you not join us? This celebration is in your honor as well.
Almost he ignored the invitation. However, he could do with a drink. With another dour glance at the door walling him off from the lodestone of his thoughts, Auron moved to the stairs. There he paused to set his sword against the door frame. Leaving it there like a talisman, he descended and approached the small gathering at the bar with a curt nod for their greetings and smiles.
Is there any word? Barrelai said. I'm not the healer that Isaru is, but I am temple trained. If you wish, I could...
Auron saw Juno's fingers tighten around her drink. There was no real danger from this quarter, but it was a reminder. Lulu needs rest and those she trusts, but thanks. Their faces burned with curiosity. Turtling behind his collar, Auron moved to an unoccupied seat and gave his full attention to the tankard Lucille pushed towards him. Gipple should be here, Juno said after an expectant pause. He's going to miss the party.
He's headed to Luca after he drops off Elma, Barrelai reminded her. I'm sure the celebrations there will exceed even Bavel's.
Still gunning for a date with the Hot Commander, Nuge said dryly. As I recall, he always wanted to join the Crusaders.
Did he? Excellent, said Lucille. I hope your friend has fortitude.
Elma's breaking in of potential officers can be quite strenuous. Her eyes crinkled as Barrelai began to cough into his drink. Speaking of breaking in, Juno propped her chin on her hand, eyeing the silent man at the end of the counter. Sir Auron, I don't know if you're aware, but during the upheavals at the end of your last pilgrimage, the warrior monks collapsed. There was a purge. The black scrolls were burned. We had to rebuild the order. I don't suppose you would... No. She frowned. Sir? You don't need the past. Your training helped you beat sin 3 times. You know what works, sir, what's useless. That's a legacy worth passing on. I'm not interested in your job, Captain. Now look. Now who's on duty? Barrelai said, eyes twinkling. I would think that Sir Auron has earned a vacation before he considers new career options. The door swished open, alleviating the need for further diplomacy. Riku's large family paraded into the room. Sid, carrying the youngest girl in his arms, was using his knees to herd a sleepy Etta towards a guest room next to Osaru's. A noisy argument in Albed had broken out between Vedina and his uncle, a man like a human windmill whose gesticulating arms spruited fresh bruises. Little Yuna trailed behind the others with head down, pajama feet slipping off her toes. A plush shoe puff bumped along the floor behind her, tugged along by its snout. At the end of the bar, she halted and turned towards Auron with an imploring look. He shook his head. Not yet. Yuna wants to see, Brothers said, laboring over the Evanite tongue. Yuna wants to see the woman. Waka and Riku are with her, Auron said, rising to his feet. Yuna scurried over. Her grandfather turned and harrumphed.